to side.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Vahini Satsang, our series on Thursday Live, where we have the opportunity to dwell on Bhagwan's own writings, on the articles that he himself penned way back in the 1950s and 60s. The first series of articles, as we have discussed before, is this series, Prema Vahini, which came with so much of love from Bhagwan, love for the devotees, just so that the devotees lead happier lives, fulfilled lives. And today, by Bhagwan's grace, we have in the studio someone who came to Bhagwan in the very early years. He comes from a very blessed family, a family that saw him for the first time in 1948. We have with us today Dr. Ravi Dabir. His parents came to Bhagwan in the 40s, and since then this family has been guided by Bhagwan at every step. Dr. Ravi's brother is Dr. Sundareshan, who is now the director of Bhagwan Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield. And today, Dr. Ravi is here with us to share his insights on the chapter 4 of Prema Vahini. He's going to share what he has experienced as he has internalized his message. And before we start the program, I also want to share with you that Dr. Ravi, who is there in the US for nearly 40 years, practicing as a very, very accomplished dentist, has now moved to Prashant Nilayam to serve in Bhagwan's General Hospital. So now he's here serving every morning and evening in the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital. And interestingly, today we are going to discuss about service. He is someone who has really practiced this in his life, and in this chapter 4, as we have seen in the last episodes of Prema Vahini, the first 4 or 5 paragraphs were so much focused on service, and Bhagwan is again and again reiterating that the body's only mission is service. So let's move on. We will now listen to the 6th para of Prema Vahini, and then with Bhagwan's permission and blessings, we'll start the discussion. So here is the 6th paragraph, the 4th chapter of Prema Vahini.
ఈ పురుషోత్తముడు క్రొత్త క్రొత్త సేవా సాధనములనిచ్చి నా వలన ప్రేమపూర్వకమైన సేవలు చేయించుకొనుచున్నాడు. వివిధమైన సాధనలనిచ్చి నాచేత ఆట ఆడించుచున్నాడు. రకరకాలైన ప్రయోజనకర కార్యాలు నాచేత చేయించుచున్నాడు అని ఇట్టి భావములతో జీవితయాత్ర సాగించినచో ఎంత ఆనందం లభించును.
దిస్ సుప్రీం డివైన్ is repeatedly offering me newer instruments to do service and getting loving acts of service done through me. He is conducting this beautiful play through me and engaging me in a variety of useful endeavors. If one were to journey through life with this feeling, would it not be one filled with immense joy?
So that is what Bhagwan is saying. I think it is, if you see the first 5 paragraphs, Bhagwan is coming to this. He is constantly telling us that the prime reason why body is given to you is service. And now this is sort of a culmination where Bhagwan is so beautifully saying that will life not be one of joy if you have this attitude in life? And Dr. Ravi Dabir, if you can share with us, Sai Prakash also is here, what is your experience of living this in life? What is your experience of being an instrument in his hands? What are the challenges? when does it become fulfilling? When is it a challenge? And how to ensure that it really fills you with love? Does it happen automatically? Do we really need to do something so that your life is really filled with immense joy, as Bhagwan says?
The whole scenario starts on faith. Once you have faith that you want to do something, and then you have to persist in that line. For example, the general hospital, which was old, not old in sense, the building was not sufficient enough to see 1,000 patients a day. So we made a proposal to Bhagwan in 2006, saying, Bhagwan, this is too small. People are lying in the corridors. The beds are in the corridors, so it's very difficult to control infection and things like that. So Bhagwan said, what do you want to do? So we made a proposal to put a new building, which is about 40,000 square feet. And Bhagwan said, no, it is too big. Then we said, okay, we'll go one floor up. Mm-hmm. Then Bhagwan said, no, it won't take. So then finally he agreed to the 40,000 square feet proposal for a new building. Mm-hmm. So we presented the plan, made the plans and everything, and for some reason or whatever it was, it didn't happen. And we persisted this every year. Bhagwan said, we'll do not now, later on. Mm-hmm. But we never gave up.
Mm-hmm.
See, anybody could have given up easily, but we made it a point not to give up. Dr. Ramesh Vadwani and myself, every time we came, we persisted. Swami, we want to do this. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. Then in 2011, Swami left his body and we were stuck. We didn't know what to do. So we kept quiet. And in 2012, 13, Mr. V. Srinivasan came to New York and he made an announcement, saying that we are looking for some donors to expand the general hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great news for us. So I went and met him and explained to him, this is what we had been doing since 2006 with Swami, and we would like to pursue it. He was very happy and very cooperative, and then we came here, we made a new plan and everything, and today we have a new facility which hosts about 41,000 square feet, a brand new one with all new equipment. And this is all because we had full faith that Swami is going to one day do it. Let us do it. And we got it done. I think you have to really want to do it. This way you can accomplish it. That's what we have learned from doing this.
It's an interesting fruition of an effort, if I would say.
Yes.
Because it's not very easy to give anything to Swami in the first place. Because I've heard from many people, it's the other way around. Swami, we want to give this wait. You may put on weight, but that weight will never get over. But what's very interesting is that attitude of persistence, where you believe that this is an opportunity to serve. And that's exactly what Swami is saying here, that if you look at everything in life as an opportunity to serve, he says the man must be happy that everything that he comes across in life, everything he sees in life is an opportunity given to him to serve. So that kind of an attitude, as you rightly said, faith is very important. I'm just trying to think aloud here. Yes, when you, for example, offered your services and your the finances to build the general hospital here, you could have done it anywhere else.
Yes.
But what is special about doing it here?
Well, Bhagwan has been our guide and our guru and our God from day one of my life.
Right.
So there was no way I would go out anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew that because every step of my life has been, he's holding my hands.
Correct.
So there is nothing, there is no other person than him. Plus it is not just me who was involved in this process of making this new building facility. It was a group of us from US and who have been very faithful to Swami's organization. Mm-hmm. And all of us put together did it. We were just the instruments to bring things together and explain it to the donors and tell them this is what it is. You want to be a part of it, you can be a part of it. So they all came together and it's a great facility and it was a big opportunity for us to be a part of it.
Yes.
It is really, sometimes when you think, the villagers in Puttaparthi and around the village of Puttaparthi are the most pampered villagers in any part of the world, because the kind of health care, the kind of expertise, the kind of exposure they get from doctors and the kind of care that they get is amazing.
They're also very demanding too.
So that is the bigger opportunity for you to serve,
to push.
But it is very interesting, the whole idea of wanting to do something in your life which is purely on a selfless motive, while the whole world is looking at a selfish gain. In the sense, you know, sometimes when you are from the US and people often, you know, confuse this whole term of what charity is. Charity is a term which is used very freely and it connotes different things in different places. Is that right?
Well, yes and no. Charity in the Satya Sai organization, mm-hmm, is 150%.
Right.
you give a dollar a rupee, it goes 150%.
Correct.
But the other 50% comes from a lot of love in labor,
mm-hmm,
who are not being paid. I mean, I shouldn't say not being paid, who are voluntarily doing it.
Right.
Without any remuneration.
Correct.
So if you give a dollar, mm-hmm, it's a dollar 50 or more sometimes, mm-hmm, at the end receiver.
Correct.
Whereas if you go into the charity in the Red Cross,
mm-hmm,
or United, you know, Way and other organizations, I'm not putting them down,
mm-hmm,
but what happens is their overheads are 60-70%.
Yes.
Oh. So your $1 or 1 rupee, the end receiver gets only 30 cents.
Okay. Yeah.
So which to us is not a very good institution to donate.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we are staying locally, we stayed locally,
mm-hmm,
we did contribute because we had to have an exposure in the local community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's what Bhagwan's charity means.
But then in that sense, if you look at it, do you think that the way Swami has started these projects, do you think it is replicable?
It is. The only thing is people should have faith in themselves that they can do it.
That's right.
And people should get together with other like-minded people,
mm-hmm,
and do it. It's not impossible. And there are people who can afford to do it, mm-hmm, you know, bigger than this.
Okay.
If they want to.
If they want.
Right.
If they have the pure will.
Right.
As Swami Vivekananda used to say, and this statement I feel is very powerful. He said, a pure will is omnipotent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what Bhagwan's life is also all about. You know, every time he only had this pure will and everything else just automatically fell into place.
Exactly.
As Swami was saying, there is nothing divine about the whole thing. It was something that he showed what any man can do. And I think it happens in our own little ways, in our own lives, isn't it? Just like this general hospital happened. You had a group of you had this noble thought, and you know, things just fell into place. You automatically just become an instrument.
Right.
Someone else is somehow pulling the strings, isn't it?
Well, you know, we had to have the patience.
Yes.
Swami wanted to make sure that you really want to do this.
Yes.
And you know, without him being sure, he wouldn't have given us the opportunity to do it.
Yes.
Because he wants to see if we can sustain it.
Hmm.
So that's the key part of it.
Yes. Mm. So it's purity, patience and
right.
perseverance.
Right.
All these three. And then you become an instrument of the Lord.
Exactly.
In fact, I just remember one interaction and a meeting that I had a couple of years ago in Delhi. When Bhagwan had visited Delhi in 2010, Bhagwan's car was sent from Puttaparthi to be used there locally when Swami was visiting the places in Delhi. And after this long journey, this car was actually taken to a car body shop just for overhauling. And Mr. Pradeep Chabra, who was the owner of that Toyota showroom, he was someone who had just come to know about Bhagwan. He had had Bhagwan's darshan maybe once or twice before. But something happened to him. It was a very intense experience when Swami's car actually went to his showroom. And as we know, in those days, Bhagwan's chair that he used to come during darshan was the same chair which he used to get into the car. So it's basically what is there in the car is Bhagwan's throne. So he felt so moved that Swami has come into my company, Swami has come into my office. So he took Swami's chair and instead of giving it for any overhaul or anything, he took it to his cabin, the CEO's cabin, and he removed his chair and he kept Swami's chair there and he said, "Swami, you are the owner of this company. From today, I always knew in my heart that you are the one, but today you have really come." And from that day, he stopped entering that room. He had made, designed that room very beautifully for himself as the CEO's room. Mm. But once Bhagwan's chair went there, till today he does not enter that room. He says, "Swami is the owner of the company. I am only an instrument." And with time, you know, the business grew. He now is blessed to have the first dealership of Lexus cars in India. Mm. He's bringing in Lexus. And he says that, you know what, I can only tell you this much. Everything about in my life is only a miracle. I have not done anything. It just happens. I don't know how it happens. I think this is something that, you know, anyone who wants to do things for Swami constantly thinks about Swami experiences, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone who ever tried to do something positive to society would have experienced this, how you just become only an instrument and someone else is pulling the strings.
Serving for Swami's mission is something that we are blessed. It doesn't come for everyone.
That's true.
Oh,
that's
yes.
true.
You see, only a few are chosen
yes.
to do certain things. And even Swami has said many times, even a blade of grass doesn't move without
yes.
his will. So unless he wished it, it wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
And but to go back and say, you have to want it.
Yes.
And if you didn't want it, I mean, we could have dropped off halfway down the road.
Yes.
But since all our group was insistent that we should pursue the medal, we got it done.
Hmm. I think Swami, for Swami, I would think that more than a new building for the general hospital, what is getting built in you,
yes.
within each devotee, I think that is more important for him.
Yeah.
The spiritual character, the spiritual evolution that is happening in every devotee, even if, you know, the building can wait for 5 years, if the building waiting in 5 years contributes to your growth spiritually, I think for Swami that is more important.
Because you're starting to retrospect, yes. analyze yourself.
Yes.
What went wrong?
Yes.
What did I do?
Yes.
What did I not do?
Yes. Because he's here to build each one of us
yeah.
more than build any buildings.
Yes.
So I think that's what he constantly does. And as you also have experienced, our growth happens only when we know that he's the one who is doing it.
Exactly.
Wonderful, sir. So shall we move on to the next paragraph, the last paragraph in this chapter 4. Let's listen to this.
Chodu. మానవులు చేయు ప్రతి కార్యము భక్తిమయం కావలను. ఉదయం మొదలు సాయంత్రం వరకు చేయు ప్రతి కర్మయు భగవంతుని పూజగా తలంచవలను. మానవులు ఎంతో శ్రద్ధతో పూజకులకు తెచ్చిన పుష్పములు వాడక నలగకుండుటకు ఎంత శ్రద్ధగా భద్రపరుతురు. వాసన చూసినా ఏ దోషమో అని పళ్లెరమున కడుజాగ్రత్తగా ఉంచుదురు. ఈ దృష్టియే అనుదిన జీవిత కార్యములపై ఉండిన అప్పుడు లోకమున మానవుని వలన అఖండ సేవ జరుగును. నేను అన్నది ఏమాత్రం మిగలదు. అహంకారమును వదులుకొని జీవితమును హరిపారాయణము గావించుకొనవలెను. పరమాత్మ అతడు, సేవకుడను నేను, ఈ సృష్టి సాధన రూపము అని భావన కలిగిన నాది నేను అన్నది మటుమాయమగును.
ఎవ్రీ యాక్టివిటీ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ షుడ్ బి సఫ్యూజ్డ్ విత్ డివోషన్. ఎవ్రీ యాక్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ డాన్ టిల్ డస్క్ హ్యాస్ టు బి డన్ యాజ్ అన్ యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిప్ టు ద లార్డ్. పీపుల్ టేక్ సో మచ్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫ్లవర్స్ మెంట్ ఫర్ వర్షిప్ సచ్ దాట్ దే డోంట్ ఫేడ్ ఆర్ క్రంపుల్. They preserve them carefully and even hesitate to smell them, considering that to be a sin. If people undertake their daily tasks too with this spirit, then in this world we would find humanity engaged in a saga of long, unbroken service. The feeling of I would not exist in the least. Ego has to be given up. And life has to be transmuted into a story of the divine. Once we attain the stage wherein we realize that He is the master, I am the servitor, and this creation is only a medium, then the feeling of I and mine will vanish.
So Swami is coming back here, telling us how to become an instrument, how to get rid of that I and mine. And Swami says, devotion is the way.
Yeah, I think it's more than devotion, it's just work is worship.
Yes.
So that's what he says, consider your work itself as worship. And he says, just as they take so much care to select the flower and offer it to the Lord in its purest form, offer every action, every effort to Him. That's yes. What Swami is saying here. And it's very interesting, because what Swami is saying is that if you look at every action that you're doing, then that itself will lead to the purpose of all life.
Yes.
And it's like one step at a time. Take one step, every action that you're doing, just think of this as an offering and offering. Just do it.
Yes. You know, it's easy said than done.
Very true.
But it is it's very difficult to practice this day in and day out.
Correct.
We go to the clinic at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
You're fresh, and before you go, you say, Swami, please help us perform our duties.
Correct.
And accept it, and bless it. You think about this all the way along. You go to the hospital and you end up there and you see 50 people waiting there. So now already your mind is churning and says, how am I going to, even though we are 3-4 of us, how are we going to see 50 people? And not only 50 people waiting, sitting in the veranda there, there are 30 or 40 more sitting in the registration shed.
Correct.
So added to all these things, now your tension is building up. For the first few, you're calm, you're nice, you're sweet to the patients. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to 11:30, you're hungry, and your patience goes down.
Yes.
It is very difficult.
Very difficult, yes.
And to work with the associates who are with, now in the group, it's very important for each of us to understand each other.
Yes.
When one of us is losing our cool, the other one steps in and says, no problem, sir, we will see him.
Yes.
So this way you calm down.
Correct.
Otherwise it makes it very difficult.
Yes.
So it is very important to have
a group of people with like-minded persons.
Yes.
So that they all work cohesively.
Yes.
You know, that is very important.
Yes.
Otherwise, everything will fall apart.
Yes.
And you'll fall apart and you'll say, oh, Swami, you didn't do this. You know. So that's how we're facing, you know, these days in the hospital.
Yes.
But it is coming together nicely because
yes.
the people working there are very calm and quiet, nice.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
In spite of the 1,000 people we see every day in all the clinics, medical, mm. dental, OBGYN and pediatrics and everything, it's difficult to handle.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, somebody is going to lose their head.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember in a super specialty hospital in Whitefield, where I was there for a year, so I could see this firsthand. You know, the cardiac surgeon or the cardiologist in the OPD, he would come and he would be very nice in the first few hours of the day. But what happens is things get complicated in our hospitals because most of the people who come are people from lower sections of society. So one challenge is communication. You know, they are not people with whom you can have easy conversations. So most of the time, they may not know your language, you may not know their language, and trying to get across to them is first of all a challenge. And secondly, what I saw in many cardiac patients there is, you know, they would have just forgotten what they've been asked to do. They would have forgotten, they would have had no clue how they should have managed their health, you know, for a revisit patient, for example. So again, the doctor to explain everything, and to someone who's not educated, some illiterate, so it's an even more greater challenge. And I think I can understand that, you know, in the general hospital, you know, if you are to see, say, 20 students from the hostel, it's a different experience. And seeing 20 people who have come from in the rural areas, isn't it?
No, students from the hostel are also not easy. They will just walk in straight, and even if the patient is sitting on the chair, they'll come and sit on the patient and say, I want to be seen first. No, but they're nice kids.
But I think, as you're saying, to treat every patient with that same kindness, same love, same warmth, you know, as someone Swami has sent for us, you know, for giving us another opportunity to serve, is challenging. But I think that is what is the striving for every person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wherever they are.
Thing is, every one of us is waiting for Sunday, so you can sleep. But can you imagine, Swami was working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no holiday,
yes.
You know, not much sleep.
Yes.
So that is something great.
Absolutely.
Where did he physically that strength, yeah. that power, yeah. that energy, that love,
right.
is a source?
Yes. That's divinity.
That's divinity, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we are just reading this paragraph, something that comes to my mind is, yes, it's okay to, you know, you're able to think that if something comes out well, suppose you're doing a piece of art or you're doing something, you're serving somebody and the person is immediately benefited and he is fine. You feel a sense of satisfaction. You say, Swami, I offer this to you. But if things don't go well, then
Swami, you screwed me up.
And you're so irritated. I said, Swami, why do you irritate me?
No, invariably what happens is a lot of times, not only here, but even when I was in private practice,
mm-hmm.
whenever I got into trouble, I just shut my eyes
mm-hmm.
and just chant his, you know, Sai Gayatri or, you know, regular Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
And it falls through. It comes through wow. like a
wow.
smooth sailing thing.
Mm.
It has happened every time.
Oh.
Yeah.
How amazing.
Yeah, it is. I think when you lose your patience,
mm-hmm.
you get more frustrated,
mm-hmm.
and you're likely to commit more mistakes.
Mm.
See, so you got to calm yourself, get mm. back into that mood,
mm-hmm.
and ask Swami for help, and He's there.
Yes.
A sense of detachment is also very important in that sense. When you say that, Swami, this is your doing, this is what I'm offering it to you, that sense of surrender that comes with it, I think unless that is there. So how, so like you were saying, what, you know, fascinated me so much about the first sentence you made, you said faith is important. So, you know, many people ask this question, how can I get faith unless I have an experience? So what is your take on this? Like, what happens first? Do you have blind faith first and then you have an experience, or you have an experience that gives you faith?
I think, as Swami has said before, come experience me first and then you develop the faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, he has given us enough tools.
Right.
You know, his devotional tools, his service activity that goes on is one of the major tools.
Mm-hmm.
In free education, free treatment in the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is not easy for anybody.
Absolutely.
So when you see this, then you begin to wonder, you know, is he for real? Or is this something that I'm not understanding, you know?
Mm.
He's not creating by his wave of hands hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
It's, you know, his devotees are openly, you know, helping. And they're all Swamis, you know, they're all part of his creation.
Mm.
That is how, you know, you develop faith. Why are you, me, three of us sitting here?
Mm-hmm.
Is because we have a faith, developed the faith in Swami, not today or yesterday,
mm-hmm.
from a very long time.
Right.
Because of his works, his social, you know, programs. And you continue that faith.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight for anybody.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Some people are possibly blessed with something so, so powerful that they are immediately taken in. Possibly they were ripe for that kind of an experience.
Yeah.
Just reminded of this beautiful quotation about faith. They say that with little faith, you can go to heaven. But with great faith, heaven will come to you.
Yes.
And I think all the people who have had very, very fulfilled lives are people who had great faith. And you know, so they were in that heaven of joy, the heaven of bliss. I think whatever happens to them, as you said, you know, even frustration happens, it doesn't affect them because they just take it with faith. You know, this is what Swami wanted, that's it. And so slowly you calm down and then everything falls into place.
One more incident I'd like to say.
Sure.
From last 15 years, you know, I was pestering Swami, saying, I want to come back.
Okay.
From US to, you know, Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm. For 15 years, you
15
asking.
Years. Almost 10, 15 years, you know. So Swami said, not now, not now, not now, not now. And every time he keeps dodging me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come 2-3 times a year. And every time I came, we were fortunate that he gave us an interview, talked to us. And every time I tried to bring this question, he would avoid it and bring something else. And then I would forget the question. And then when I come out of the room, I forgot to ask this question.
Mm.
So one time I came, I caught him. I said, no, you have to give me an answer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, not now. I will tell you when you should come.
Mm.
Not now, you stay there.
Mm.
I said, okay. By that time, you know, unfortunately for me or whatever, Swami left the body.
Mm.
So now I'm wonderstruck.
Mm.
So what to do now? Every step of my life has been he's held my hands.
Mm.
Not that he has not held my hands now.
Mm.
But then I begin to wonder what to do. I was still marketing my office to be sold, you know,
mm-hmm.
and nothing happened after he left. 5 years over, and what to do? One fine day, somebody came and said, I want to buy your office. I said, here's the keys. I just gave him the keys. He says, how much do you want? I says, you know, you give me whatever the valuation is, you know, I'll accept it. So, afterwards, we made a deal, finished, finalized within 2 months. I worked for him for 2 months, and then I packed up and came here. So that's what it is, persistence and faith.
Yes. Wow. And he knows the best time. You know,
yes.
Now when you think about it, what are the things that you feel probably fall into place? I mean, Swami wanted you now. I think in some sense, maybe Swami wanted that you should spend some more time in the U.S. Maybe, as you are saying, you spent some more time with your mom. You spend some more time with your mother, which was again something very, very a great blessing, isn't it?
See, at that time, my youngest was still in college. So it was not possible to leave him alone and come.
Okay.
So I had to finish that part of the obligation. And my daughter got married, so that took care of it. So that made it easy, step by step, to, you know, come.
Yes. So, because that's what we have seen with Bhagwan, you know. Whenever he says, wait, it's very frustrating for us.
Yes.
But finally when it happens, and then you look back, and then you begin to understand, at least in to some level, oh wow, wonderful, thank God it happened now, because this is really the best time, because God's he's never delaying anything, he's all the time, he does everything only at the right time.
Correct.
Yes.
I mean, he cannot go wrong.
Yeah.
Simple that.
In your long association with Swami and your family's long association, I mean, you just mentioned, what a statement, that every step in your life, Swami has literally held your hand and carried you all across. So, how is the experience like?
We are missing him now, physically.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only bad part. But we are fortunate and glad that we are a part of his mission.
Right.
And we hope to be here until we go.
Until you go. But when was the first time you came to Swami? Like,
parents came 1948.
Wow.
And my awareness came in 64.
Okay.
When we had our thread ceremonies performed by Bhagwan in Puttaparthi.
Oh. In 64.
Yeah. That from then on only I can remember.
Okay.
Before that, my mom and dad used to say, they used to cross from Bukapatnam across the river, putting us on my dad's shoulder, because the water was waist high. And Swami used to wait on the other side of the banks, then he used to carry our bags, you know.
Oh my God.
So these are all, my parents used to narrate these incidences, because those things I cannot remember.
Mm-hmm.
But from age 12, when we were 11, 12, my brother was 9 and I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
From then on, after our Upnayanam thread ceremony was over, we can kind of remember most of the things.
So 62, 63, that's 64. Swami is already in this mandir. He has left the Patha mandir.
Yes. I don't remember going to the old mandir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, then you did your medicine and all that.
Dentistry,
here?
Yeah.
Dentistry here in Bangalore.
In Manipal.
Manipal. And so obviously every step of the way.
Yeah, without his permission, my father never did anything. He used to run and say, okay, Swami, we want to do this. What do you... Swami said, manchidi cheyidu, lakpati oddu. No thing. No. He wanted to, when we were already in U.S., Dad, my second son was born.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother was already with me in U.S. to help my wife out. So I wanted my father to come.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to Puttaparthi to get permission.
Mm-hmm.
Swami didn't talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was upset. Then he came to Vrindavan. Swami came to Vrindavan. He didn't see him there also.
Mm-hmm.
Like 6 months.
Oh.
You know, he wouldn't even come close to my father. My father was upset and mad, you know, like you said, patience. but he already had the ticket.
Okay.
So finally cornered Swami in Vrindavan and told him that I have to go to States tomorrow. Swami didn't say anything. He just said, Padnamskaram Cheskante. That's all he said. Dad left Bangalore.
Just take Padnamskaram.
And as usual, he carried all the pickles and in his suitcase, because those days there was no Indian stores there. So he went to pick up the bag in Mumbai on the conveyor belt. He pulled his bag and he fainted. So he couldn't make the trip. So my brother went to Mumbai, brought him back to Bangalore, and he was in the hospital for 3 months.
Sairam.
So that's when you realize, when he doesn't see you,
there is a reason.
That's the reason.
Accept it.
Accept it.
Accept it. Mm. So you must have seen so many of these, no, sir, in your life.
It is really, sometimes you get mad at him, but no, he has a reason.
At the end you realize.
At the end you realize.
How do we connect to him now? How do you connect to him now?
I haven't tried. I have tried, but it's not happened. So that's why I just got deeply involved in
the service
in the hospital.
That adds a lot of fulfillment.
Yeah,
serving.
No, we are happy. It's not that I didn't connect to him, but no, we are kind of very content.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to do this.
Yes. Right.
Your body is still functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Your brains are still functioning.
Correct.
Your hands are still functioning. We haven't been crippled yet in the chair, in the wheelchair, so that we cannot do. What's the point in coming at 75 or 80 in the wheelchair and say, I want to do seva?
Mm. Yes. Somebody needs to seva to you.
Right. So that is why I wanted to come early. I wanted to come 10 years ago, but anyway, it happened now. That's good.
Wonderful. I think what you mentioned is so significant, because that is what Bhagavan is saying also in the previous paragraphs of this chapter 4, where Swami is saying that this people spend so much time and energy, you know, indulging in their body, and right. even after the body is had its time, you are doing all sort of artificial ways to extend the life of the body, because you are so much only thinking about the body, you are only thinking about pampering the body and forgetting what the purpose of the body is.
Right.
And that was very clear in your head. You know, you always wanted to come back and serve, back and serve. Mm-hmm. But it's just that Swami chose the right time.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he wanted to test you also.
Yes.
He wanted to see whether you're really wanting to come or you're trying to joke.
Yeah. Is it lip service or real service?
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Sir, so in your, again, coming, because it's so fascinating, the long association with Swami, you said sometimes you get mad at him and there is a delayed response. Please share with us one or two of those, any of those stories.
Well, I don't know if the delayed response has really hurt you. Yes, it has hurt you, but... you know, there is an answer to the consequence also. I wanted to go to U.S.
Okay.
I graduated in 73. And then I wanted to go to U.S. very badly. And I wanted to go do my post-graduation and then come back. Which I was not sure whether I was going to come back or not.
Okay.
And I used to fight with my father saying, I want to go, but he didn't want me to go. Because my father is a dentist also, and he wanted me to work with him.
Okay.
Which is understandable. I would have done the same thing. You know, if my son was a dentist, I would have kept him and said, you work with me. But invariably, you know, father and son don't get along very well in that working situation. But anyway, to cut the story short, he said, you know, you go ask Swami. So my mother and myself took the bus. Came to Parthi. This was in 74 summer time, almost summer time, past Shivaratri, hot. And then we came here and stayed for 10 days.
Okay.
Swami wouldn't even look at us. So my mother was very close to him. And so he finally, you know, he gave in, and then we talked to him. And I told him I want to go to U.S. Then he kept on insisting, no, you cannot go, you cannot go, you cannot go, you cannot go.
Oh.
I said, Swami, no, I have to go. Just about a month before, I went and saw an astrologer in Bangalore. He is the one who reads the nadis.
Okay. Yeah.
So that guy, as soon as I walked in, he said, you are so and so, you deal with blood, you know, this is your profession, all these things, and you are trying to go abroad.
Uh-huh.
And he said, there is no way you are going to go.
Oh.
So Swami was trying to tell that words, you cannot go, you cannot go, you cannot go.
Mm.
But then I kept insisting, and I was pulling his garment, I was pulling his hands, and then I said, no, I have to go.
Mm.
Then he said, okay, finally he said, okay, I'll send you on one condition.
Mm.
You get married, and then you go.
Oh, okay.
I said, if I go there, I don't have money to eat for myself. How am I going to support another soul? So I told him this. I said, Swami, I don't want to get married because I have to stay somewhere with somebody. And it will be very difficult for me. There's nothing doing. You get married, I'll send you. So I got married. You know? And then you won't believe, the very next application I put in the American embassy in Chennai, my visa was approved.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So that's how we went.
Oh.
I remember two things. You know, at one time Swami said that don't ask God for anything. Whatever you ask for, He will ignore.
Yes.
And whatever you do not ask, He will grant. But at the same time, Swami also on another occasion says, whatever you want, you persist. You persist till you get it. You know, the Lord will become, He Himself will feel that
melt.
Melt, or He will say, okay, I'll just give it to Him. If He wants it, just give it to Him.
See, I wanted to go to US, but in the process, I didn't want to get married, but I got married.
So that's why. So I think so. He did some balancing act, just so that maybe whatever was preventing you for that journey in your life, He nullified that perhaps and made that smoother. Something.
No, he knows what's best for you.
Yes.
Basically, if you believe that,
yes,
just live it.
Yes.
That's very interesting, because like for those who had that opportunity to actually interact with Him physically, it is not that those who interacted with Him physically had a bed of roses in their lives.
No.
They went through all the difficulties, all the troubles, and He was there by their side, giving them support and guidance. But they had to go through what they...
He says, I'm not going to wipe your karma out, but I'll make it easy for you.
Easy. Yes.
Some kind of, you know, I think in some context, Swami said, it's like anesthesia.
Right. Yes. Back to Padma Kasturi, madam, you know, who also went through a lot in her life, Professor Kasturi's daughter.
There was one Mr. Patel.
Okay. Yes.
Majestic Theatre owner.
In Bangalore.
Mm. He was in the wheelchair all the time. And Swami asked him, do you want to walk? I'll make you walk.
Okay.
But you'll have to come back again.
Oh.
So what do you want? He said, no, Swami, I'm comfortable.
Okay.
But he had so much health problems, no control over his bladder, his motion and everything. But he made him comfortable. Made his life little bit easy.
Wow.
And he had Swami with him, so...
Yeah. So that's what he is.
In a sense, like, yes, it is faith. What I'm trying to say is, like, when you had Swami physically with you and giving you guidance to do this or not to do this, everything, if you believe that everything happens because of His will, even today, like, when things are happening in each one's life, if we believe that this is happening because this is good for me and this is what Swami wants me to go through, then I think the end result is the same.
Exactly. Then you don't have disappointments.
Exactly. Yes. That's true.
Absolutely.
See, if you believe it's happened, this is what I'm expected, and this is what I'll get, then you're happy.
Yes. Right.
If you say, no, this is not what I want, this is not what I expected, I need this one, I need that one, then you're in trouble.
Yes.
That's true.
Expectation leads to tears.
Right.
Acceptance leads to tears.
Sure.
But one thing that you mentioned is very interesting, that, you know, Swami was telling you, you're not going, and you're saying that, no, I will go. I mean, that only shows the kind of... relationship that you had with Bhagwan, you know. I mean, how many of us could have done that, you know, even though, you know, we were students and we've been talking to Swami and had opportunities to interact, but if Swami said, hey, you're not going, we would have just told, okay, Swami. But, you know, you were like saying, Swami is telling you, no, you don't go. He's saying, nothing going, I am going. I mean, that only shows how you felt that that's the kind of relationship, I mean, such a comradely relationship you had with Bhagwan, actually.
See, at that point, we really took him like a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't pay much attention to the other glory of his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just took him like... We have the right.
The head
another,
of the
another father who was leading our hands, holding our hands, other than my physical father, you know.
Mm.
So that's how, you know, we pursued.
Mm.
And it worked. But it's so amazing now, both the brothers are looking out, you know, working in two of those hospitals.
Yes.
Two of the branches. It's so inspiring.
Well, we are fortunate.
You know, it's also inspiring in a sense. It's like a complete circle, no, sir?
Yeah.
It starts and then the whole life goes through and then again you come back to the source.
Yes.
And there is so much of content.
And now when you see how Swami has prepared someone for all these years, right from 50s he has prepared you. You know, today you are back contributed so much in taking something which Bhagwan started again in the 40s, taking that forward, and now you are again fully part of it. So in some sense, whenever you think, you know, he was preparing each one, as you said, no one can come to him or no one who has a chance to serve him has done it on his own. It is because he has given that opportunity and he chose you for whatever reason.
Exactly.
You prayed, yes. Even when he chooses you, you've got to put your effort. You've got to be persistent. You've got to pray. You've got to be patient. You've got to, you know, show that willingness and have that purity. But because if you don't have it, then you miss it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what is very beautiful to see is the master plan. You know, how he's orchestrated this whole thing.
We are all puppets.
Oh yes, and that is exactly what Swami is feeling. You know, that, you know, this I and mine feeling will vanish.
Yes, right.
You know,
right.
This ego will go once everything just becomes a devotion.
I think all of us have to carry with us patience, perseverance,
yes.
Faith.
Yes,
and let things happen the way it happens.
Yes,
and not contest it.
Yes,
acceptance. Accept it.
Yes.
You know, and then your life becomes more easier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If we start contesting and fighting with the life, why this to me, why that to me, you know, why not, why is that for him, why is this one not for me,
mm-hmm.
then the turmoil starts.
Yes. Absolutely. So,
yeah. Acceptance, in one sense, yes, it makes sense, but you should also have that when you're doing an action, for example. Like, you have that persistence that we want to build this hospital. And that is what made you come back again and again and pray for it. So, in a sense, you have that desire, selfless desire to serve. And even for a selfless desire to find fruition, you need to put in the effort of trying again and again. But then you accept it that it didn't happen for a good 10 years.
Yeah. Now, I think when it comes to good things, when you know that it is a pure selfless desire, then whenever there are setbacks, that should not frustrate you. That should only
make you more persistent.
Make you more determined. Yes, make you more determined. Yeah. So you keep trying, and then so obviously sometime he will find some way. He will make some opening because it's a pure desire.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like going to US, you just keep. You know, asking him again and again and again and again.
Yes, yeah. He'll have to create some way. For you, that condition was you better get married. But, you know, for everyone, there'll be something that he will do. If you really want it, I think he will make it happen. But I think that is something very interesting that, you know, you had the relationship with Swami as a father. And
right.
I think that is what the whole point of the avatar is all about. You know, everyone relates to him in a very unique way. And everyone develops that kinship.
Yes.
And that is That is the greatest gift I think mankind gets, you know, when the God, the invisible Nirakara Brahman comes in a human form. This whole concept of purity, patience, everything becomes easier to understand, easier to relate to and practice.
No, he has said it, you know, you look up to me as a friend, I'll be a friend.
Yes.
If you look up to me as a father, I'll be your father. If you look up to me as a God, I'll be your God. You know, simple as that.
Yeah.
And if you look up to me as something different, it's something different.
Yes. Absolutely. Wonderful. But I think slowly, as you said, you know, ultimately you realize that you are just a puppet.
Yes.
With time, you know, he's the divine master ultimately pulling all the strings. And, as Bhagwan very beautifully concludes here, that we've got to have that feeling that he is the master, I am the servitor, and this creation is only a medium. Creation is only a medium, just so that this feeling of I and mine will vanish. And when I read this, you know, what comes to my mind is that greatest devotee of the Lord, Hanuman. You know, when Hanuman was asked also by Ravana, who are you? The only thing he said is, Dasoham Kaushalendasya. I am just the servant of Lord Rama. I mean, he could have told him a million things. He could have told him how I was the one who had defeated your father or whatever. There are so many virtuous, valorous qualities of Hanuman. But only thing that he identified himself with is, I am a servant of Rama. I think that is something very, very beautiful. And very, very profound when it comes to service, when it comes to giving up the ego. And Swami says there are two ways of getting rid of this attachment, the world. The world is binding us. Swami says there are two ways, dasoham and soham. Either you say, I am nothing, and you become smaller, and you know, then you get out of the bind. Or you say, I am God, and then you break out of it. And I think that is the Jnana Marga, where you say, you know, you identify yourself with the Supreme Consciousness, and this dasoham, perhaps is the Karma Marga, is the Bhakti Marga, where, you know, you just diminish yourself to that extent that you don't exist anymore. And that is the way Bhagavan says we need to sanctify our lives. So maybe Sai Prakash, I think we should sort of summarize what Bhagavan is saying in this fourth chapter, isn't it, before we close up.
Sure. I think Swami started with, again, we ended in this note of surrender.
Yes.
But Swami did start this chapter with this concept of surrender.
Yes.
And he said, yes, we are doing so many activities in our life today, but every activity that we do is like a sacrifice, it's like a yajna.
Yes.
And he says, if it is performed with the spirit of surrender, that is the added, insight we got today, that even if we want to do something good, we need to have that sense of acceptance and surrender for it to, for the right time to come. So then he said, yes, you are doing this, doing everything in the spirit of surrender, but we should always have this wisdom and awareness in our minds that this body which is given to us is just an instrument, and the mistake that we all make is to identify ourselves with the body. And Swami says that this body which is given to us actually houses the Lord, and therefore it's but an instrument and an implement given by God. Then he says, the body has to be used based on this Mahavakya of Tattvamasi.
I am the Atma.
I am the Atma, and the divine axiom that Mahavakya, which says, I am that. And based on that Atma Tattva, if you do your actions as an act of service, sacrifice and surrender, then that is the best way to act. Then he says, until that realization is achieved, till you realize that purpose for your life, it's better to do each action in an absolutely vigilant manner. So he says, do every action vigilantly and do it with care. And So, you know, he says, just as you discard your winter clothes in the summer and summer clothes in the winter, till you reach that level of understanding and awareness, you need to put on with this body.
Yes.
Yes. Till you reach that level of understanding, you need to put on with this body, you need to have this body, you need to use it as an instrument. Till you actually understand that it is just an instrument, till then you'll have to have with it. And then so he says,
he talks about nature. Swami then goes on to share about how we can learn this from nature.
Right.
And he goes on to share that this whole purpose of body being meant only for service is all the time so eloquently demonstrated all the time around us. If only we can look around us.
Correct.
Nature is all the time telling us. Be it the sun, be it the trees, be it the mountains, everything exists only to serve us.
Yeah, in fact, sometimes you wonder, Swami gives these examples just off the cuff. He says, when the rains come, the earth and sky are one. The rain unites the earth and sky. It looks like one continuous sheet. And he says, so also when you have that awareness, the God is the master, man is the servant, and this whole creation is the process. All three unite.
Yes.
So he says, that is when all the three unite, and life is a game that is played with this kind of an attitude and approach. Then, of course, we come to what Swami is mentioning today, that you should use everything that you have in your life, every new material and every new thing that you get in your life as an instrument, and think that it is also a new opportunity given to you to serve the Lord. Yes. And then he says, from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to sleep, yes, every activity you do should be offered as an offering to the Lord, just as you take so much care to preserve the flowers that you use for worship, so also convert each action of yours as a flower and offer it to the Lord. And he says, if this is the feeling with which you lead your lives daily, the feeling of I and mine will soon disappear.
Yes.
And it will all become one saga of an offering. He says, this whole creation becomes the medium of offering your actions to the Lord.
That's yes. I think every emotion, as Bhagavan is saying, every emotion should consciously, unconsciously just become devotion. If there is any emotion in you, it should be an emotion of devotion. As someone very beautifully said, if devotion enters food, food becomes prasadam.
Mm-hmm.
If devotion enters hunger, mm-hmm. then hunger becomes fast. Mm-hmm. If devotion enters travel, travel becomes a pilgrimage. If devotion enters water, then the water becomes a teertham.
Right.
If devotion enters, a discussion becomes a satsang.
Satsang. That's true.
You know, if devotion enters a hospital, it becomes a temple of healing.
Right.
Devotion enters a house and it becomes verily an abode of God. So I think that is, and very beautifully, when devotion enters man, then only man actually becomes human. Swami says, only then you have human values. And I think that is something which we, all of us, can in our own little ways try to practice. Try to see how whatever we are doing every day, can we make that as an offering to the Lord. I think that those are the little ways by which we can walk on this path that Bhagavan has so beautifully given to us, elaborated on this fourth chapter of Prema Vahini. Thank you so much, Dr. Ravi Dabi, for coming to the studios and sharing such beautiful moments that you've experienced with Bhagavan. It's always very, very enjoyable, very, very exhilarating listening to people who had the opportunity to interact with Bhagavan way back in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. It was wonderful. And, it's so enjoyable and so enviable as well. Just wish we could also connect to him now and, you know, feel that same sense of love and care that yes. you have always felt.
Well, we're all fortunate because we had the chance to, we all lived in the same
time as he was walking on earth.
Absolutely.
And we should be grateful and thank him for having us come at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yes. All put together, Swami said, love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. All these things fall into the same, you know, meaning.
Yes. So, that is the ocean.
You know, stop talking bad about others.
Yes.
Mind your business. Keep your head down. Walk straight. Everything will be fine.
Beautiful.
Amazing. So, dear listeners, so that brings us to the end of this day-long Thursday Live. So if you have any queries or comments on this program, if you have any suggestions, if you are reading the Prema Vahini, it would be very nice if you can share your thoughts and insights. So in the next week, we'll start with Chapter 5 of Prema Vahini. So if you have the chance to go through this chapter, maybe you can send us your thoughts. We could take that and elaborate on that. Or if you have any questions that we could discuss pertaining to Chapter 5, you would pray to Bhagwan that he guides the discussion in a manner that it benefits all of us. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. And yes, keep writing to us as you always do, listener@radiosai.org. Every mail that we receive is a communication from Bhagwan, whether it is a pat or a brickbat. I think everything is for our good. We take it as his prasadam, just so that we can perfect ourselves, better ourselves in being instruments to share his love. Thank you so much. Sadam.